tonight. It's preseason game number 2 for the Patriots as they take on the Philadelphia Eagles. With some thoughts on that and more, we're joined by our friend Michael Hurley of WBZ CBS Boston. Hello there, Michael.
Hello, I'm here now.
Game tonight, game 2. What will we see at quarterback? That's the big question. What's the rotation tonight?
I think it's going to be Cam again. I think we'll probably get a little bit more Cam. And it should be exciting to see if that the Kayvon Wallace guy is in there for Philly. Maybe there's a little subplot with the trash talk. You know, you don't usually get the trash talk for preseason game number 2, but that'll be exciting. And I think, I don't want to say Cam got a raw deal or anything because he played almost the full quarter, or basically the full quarter last time, but I think he'll get a little bit more opportunity to work in the offense. Now, that being said, and I said this the other day, it's important we remember that they don't have any tight ends. So that's for both quarterbacks tonight. Running the offense is going to be a little bit of a challenge.
Has the decision already been made at quarterback, at least for the first few weeks?
I think so. And I've been on this for a while, so maybe I'm being stubborn and not coming off. But I just think there's the reason Mac Jones was the fifth quarterback taken in the draft after winning national championship, after going undefeated, after completing, 77% of his passes last year. Is a physical. It was physical limitations, and I think he needs to improve on that and work on that, and it takes time. It's not something that is, you know, you can't go from April to August and be a different person physically. It takes a lot longer than that, diet-wise, exercise-wise, and working in an NFL offense-wise. So I think all the signs on him are positive so far. Mentally, he has a tremendous arm. His arm is already up to NFL speed. It's the rest of his body that's going to take time to catch up. So to me, I think the Patriots know that. They knew that when they drafted him, and they're going to be paid. That's why Cam Newton is back, because they weren't in position to get the guy that's ready to step in day one. But that being said, all the positives you hear about him will still be positive when it is his turn.
Who needs a good game tonight for them? Not to win, but for their own individual stock?
That's a good question. I'd like to see Nelson Agholor. You know, everything you see coming across the Twitter feed this week was a couple drops from Agholor, and we know his history in Philadelphia, known more for drops than anything else. You'd like to see him sort of step into his new role. He didn't play last week, so make a couple plays, not a couple drops. I think that would be good for him, get people excited about the offense. And defensively, you heard a lot about Jalen Hurts this week, too, having a good week of practice, so I'll be interested to see which defensive player can maybe step on that. I don't know about you, but watching Matt Judon last week, for whatever it was, 2 series, he was a pretty exciting player to watch. So we'll see him if he gets in the backfield at all again. And he's hard to miss with the red sleeves. So he's kind of putting an arrow on himself. And he stood out last week, so we'll see if he can do it again.
How much do you think we'll see of Chase Winovich?
No. did you like Bill's answer the other day? I thought that was...
yes.
Rather telling, you know, what's Chase Winovich good at? Like, well, he just needs to show up and get reps. So, good question. There's obviously a little something that's been rubbing last year. I don't know, they were butting heads, whatever you want to call it. The playing time in the regular season would go up. He'd be at 77% of the snaps, and then he'd be at 30% of the snaps. So, I don't know, that's a good question. I would lean low if I were a gambling man on the number of snaps he takes tonight.
Now, can N'Keal Harry have a big enough game that people begin to forget some of his earlier decisions and poor play?
Jeez, I mean, the answer's got to be no, because we've seen him play, 30 regular season games, or not quite 30, I don't know, 19, 20 regular season games and a bunch of preseason games, and it's just not happening. And leading into last week's game, all you heard was all these amazing plays he was making at camp and winning all these battles, but not really doing it at 11-on-11s. And then you get to a game, and he had one catch for, I think, 4 yards on a 2-yard crosser that he almost turned into a loss. So I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. I do think if he gets some run with Cam on the field, maybe he'll get a couple balls thrown his way, but I'm not holding my breath for the N'Keal Harry breakout now or at any point soon.
We're talking with Michael Hurley, CBS Boston, here on Downtown. Is the punter still the best player on the roster?
Ooh. I mean, great question. I mean, he was last year. He was one of 2 All-Pros with Gunnar Olszewski kind of weaseling his way into the punt returner All-Pro role last year. So if I say yes this year, it's less of an insult as it was last year. But I do think some of the talent they added, I mean, you probably have to go with maybe like Dante Hightower over the punter in terms of football impact, sadly, but still a heck of a punter, still exciting to watch. And it would be exciting to watch him on a team that isn't going three and out and punting every drive, you know, where he's needed a lot less but can still impact games that are, you know, 13-10 instead of maybe 20-3 the other way. So still very good, but I would guess with the influx of talent that he might have moved back a peg or two.
Beyond Mac Jones, which rookie is likely to make any kind of an impact this year on the team?
Well, it's probably less exciting stat-wise and everything, but I still think Bill Belichick's most excited about Christian Barmore. Mm. Anytime you can get the first defensive tackle in the second round, I mean, he traded up to do it. You could tell he was excited about that one. And Bill has always been good at identifying those guys, and I think that's such a rare skill. If you think about, you know, if you take 20 guys who are 6'2", 320, and put them all in a room, most of us would say, like, they all seem to do the same thing. But Bill has been very good at identifying the guys who are good and can make an impact. So I think that'll be huge, but that's more in the run-stopping, being part of an effective defense-type role. I'm curious to see Ramondre Stevenson because, as we know, they like to draft their running backs and stash them for a year and basically have them wait around and do nothing. So if he has another performance like he had last week, breaking 91-yard touchdowns, he might force the issue a little bit and change the picture of that backfield. So I guess that's more of a flyer type. I think Barmore is probably going to be definitely get more playing time and be part of the defense. But if you're looking for something more exciting, I think Stevens is the answer.
With the change in the schedule this year and going to 17 games, how does it impact the timeline in terms of who gets the playing time in these preseason games?
Well, I will tell you, first of all, it impacts my brain, first and foremost, because I can't do it. I can't do the 11 and 8.
Because it's an odd number. It makes it so hard.
Yes, I do think if it was 18, I would be able to handle it better. No doubt about that. But I already forgot the question because I twisted my brain. the timeline of play. I would think that this is the big one, and then the last one is still the last one.
Right.
But there is that huge gap. Bill has complained in the past, like when they win the Super Bowl and have to open the season on a Thursday night, and they have that preseason game a week before. It's a crunch. This year they don't have it as much, where they play next Sunday and then have a little bit of a bigger gap. So I'm thinking that third game still has the fourth game qualities to it, and this is your third one because really the first one. In the previous years, the first one was when your starters play a series, maybe, and then that's it. So I would think this is maybe the bigger one. Not to say that all the starters are going to play three quarters. They'll probably play a little bit of the third instead of none of the fourth. I don't know if any of that translated well, but it made a lot of sense in my head.
I'm going to go back and listen to the tape later. I'll see if I can put it all together. Who's better, Michael, right now, Patriots or Dolphins?
Ooh. Ah. It's hard. It's a good question. I haven't done my Dolphins homework mostly, so it's going off of last year. I'm not a believer in Tua. I don't know that, you know, I like Flores as a coach, but how that translates to the head coach role, it kind of, you know, year two, year three, it starts to go one way or the other with the guys that leave Belichick's comfort at home. So we'll see if he can, you know, become the leader that he seems capable of being, but I might give the edge to the Patriots right now just because of the defense and because of the offensive line and the running game. Like, I think if you put them on the field, which we'll see soon enough, the Patriots should be better in that head-to-head. How that translates against the rest of the league, I suppose we'll find out. But right now, I would take the Patriots in a close one against Miami.
All right, away from football for just a moment, are the Red Sox done, or will they rally against a pretty light schedule over the next several weeks and at least hang around through September?
My feeling on that is they'll probably rack up some wins with Texas and Minnesota. They do have somewhat of a soft schedule, but after the way they played against Tampa and New York, it almost doesn't matter because it's sort of like, all right, let's say they rack up a bunch of wins and slide into a wild card spot. Are they going to beat any playoff team? I've lost all faith in that. I think, you know, the wind being taken out of their sails at the deadline, it killed them. You know, they needed more than the promise of Chris Sale coming back and the idea of Kyle Schwarber magically playing first base a few weeks after the deadline. Like, it wasn't enough. The team needed, they got the Red Sox where they needed to be at the end of July, and then they were given no help for it. So I think, you know, they can certainly stabilize a little bit, pick up some wins, maybe go 4-2 in the next week, be a little bit more respectable against Tampa and the Yankees going forward, but it doesn't feel like it's going to matter at this point. They don't feel good enough to make any sort of run, and they kind of lost their mojo.
Even if they make the playoffs and lose in a single game, since the expectations were so low, would it be considered or a successful season, or did that 4 months of hanging around at the top spoil everybody and say, look, if they don't make a deep run, this was a disaster?
It's a good question, because going into the year, I don't know about you, but I was just looking for an entertaining competitive season, maybe 90 wins, not really flirt with the playoffs, but, you know, sort of just be more of a Major League Baseball team than they were last year. So they certainly shattered those expectations. But then I think the element is, you are a big market team. You are a team with championship aspirations. You are a team that has a lot of, you know, high-end players. You should have gone for it. And I think that's going to be the lasting part of the story, is they got to the deadline and Chaim Bloom really didn't do anything to add to this team, to help the team. And they did the old, you know, cliche of, oh, if no one else can pick up Chris Sale, but that's not enough. They needed Chris Sale. They needed someone else, and they needed someone who could play sooner than Kyle Schwarber could. And I think that's how we'll remember it, because, you know, Chaim Bloom came out after the deadline and said, we didn't do X, Y, or Z because it wasn't, you know, conducive to our plan. But I say, you know, the plan is to be in first place at the end of July, and they were. So will that happen next year or the year after that? There's no guarantee of that. So this was, in a lot of ways, a prime opportunity that they just kicked away. So as much as, you know, if we're being fair, they did outperform expectations, reality changed, and then they let everybody down.
Have you been on with the guys in Portland lately?
It's possible. Those are usually in the mornings, and I have no mental recollection of things I do in the morning. So it's possible I've been on since last time, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't, again, it wouldn't be that memorable anyway, so I would understand if you were on, but it didn't register.
Everyone knows I'm a Van Gogh guy, and though you did try to help me get a little bit more north, I do forget the town that you referenced way up there where, you know, the listening audience might be zero. I'm still working my way up. It's slow. It's a slow climb.
We'll get you there. We'll give a bigger push to your Aroostook County fans, of which there are so many.
Absolutely. It's growing, and no one can deny that.
We're here for you. Michael Hurley, WBZ Boston. Hey, thanks as always, Michael. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll do it again soon, and you'll remember it.
Oh, I will. Afternoons, I'm crystal clear, baby.
Perfect. That's why we love you. Thanks, Mike.
Have a good one.
Michael Hurley with us on Downtown.